Was there a religious component to the American Revolution? It's something you don't even think about very often, but it's a very important backdrop to the whole conflict. Hello and welcome to this portion of Vocal Point. I'm Jerry Newcomb, and our guest is Dr. Peter Loback, who's the founder and president emeritus of Providence Forum, of which I have the privilege to serve as the executive director. And Providence Forum is now a part of the ministry of D. James Kennedy, thanks to the generosity of Dr. Loback. So, Peter, welcome back to the program, and thanks again for all you do, and thanks for letting me co-write that book with you on the faith of George Washington, George Washington's Sacred Fire. And let's get into the issue, though, of religion and the American Revolution. A lot of people don't think about it very much, but what components do you see related to religion and the American Revolution?
Well, thank you, Jerry. What a joy to be with you again. This is an overlooked area, and we can understand why it is, because the American experience has been so wonderfully shaped by the First Amendment and by the gradual assimilation of Protestants and Catholics into our broader citizenship and community life and government, so that we don't even think about the tensions that were so strategic coming from the Reformation era right up through the American founding. And so it really was the establishment of America that helped us to overlook how important those religious issues were. And so to try to understand it, remember that the Reformation started by Luther, often dated October 31st, 1517, with his 95 Theses. That was a challenge to the official established church of Europe, which was the Roman Catholic Church. That act exploded Europe into, over the next century, into a whole host of subsets of religious movements. And of course, the Protestant movement was the result of that. And one of the driving forces then of the settling of the New World was not just economic and territorial and power, but it was the quest of many day-to-day normal people just to be in a place where they could exercise their religious freedoms without fear of persecution or restriction by the government. It was standard practice that whatever the king's religion was, that was the religion of the region. And when the Reformation came along, Protestants followed that just as much as the Catholics. If the king was Catholic, the people would be Catholic. If the king was Lutheran, the people needed to be Lutheran. If the king was, kind of the head of the church, like in the Anglican said, well, then it's the Anglican church. And if you weren't in that tradition, you would be persecuted. So when the colonies were being set up, one of the things that happened is that there was a desire for some to get away from the restrictions, but there was also a self-interest on the part of the leadership where they said, well, if we can send these dissidents away from us, that might be a good thing for our country. We have less people that are protesting. In the meantime, maybe we can use their power and their strength to set up a government that will have benefits for us, that will develop the new world and we'll get away. And so these sorts of settlements helped out in a number of ways. For example, the Anglican tradition would have been very naturally honored to go to the New World because it was the king's religion. So especially in places like Virginia and New York, the Anglicans were very much recognized and honored. But those Puritans, those people that were lost the Civil War in its second phase, when Charles II came back after Oliver Cromwell, all of those kind of people, they said, let's go to the New World and get away from the king. And so they became settlers up in New England, but they were congregational and not Anglican. So they loved their English history, but they didn't like the church and the way that the king had established it. And then, of course, there's the story of William Penn. He has a debt is owed to the family, and he establishes what we know today as Penn's Woods, Pennsylvania, a wonderful story. But what that did is it established a state that didn't have an established church, but would have religious freedom of conscience for everyone. All of those things are going on. There was an attempt to allow a little bit of Catholic freedom in Maryland, and Lord Baltimore did that. But by and large, the east coast of the North American continent was essentially a series of different Protestant expressions of religion. So that was, they were different. They all had tension, but the world was so big and the land was so unpopulated, they kind of all could get along in their own little hamlets. But what happens now, interestingly, in the French and Indian War, you remember this is one of the reasons then that creates the Stamp Act, that creates the American Revolution problem to address the loss of their constitutional rights, is that there had to be a settlement with the French influence, if you will, in the eastern part of the United States and up in Canada. They had built in Montreal, in Quebec, in that area, a lot of French Catholic settlements. And so one of the issues that the King of England had to deal with is, what will we do with the Roman Catholic presence up there in Canada? Now, the Anglican king, King George and his background and the Georges, they had a tradition of being in the Protestant tradition, but they were trying to be sympathetic to the Catholic tradition because that's part of their struggle. You know, the Via Media of the Anglican Church is almost liturgically Catholic and Protestant in theology. And so as part of the negotiations with the French, they said, we will allow in this French area where Catholicism has been established, even though we've won the territory, we will allow the Catholic Church to be the official religion in that French-speaking area that now belongs to England. So it was a political compromise. That fact became an issue of tremendous concern for the Americans who are living in Massachusetts. Now, as you know your map, Massachusetts stops and you got more states and goes up to Maine. But Maine on the border was considered at that time part of Massachusetts. And so that meant that when this action occurred, suddenly when the word came in that the Roman Catholic religion is established up in Quebec, that meant that the neighboring territory of this very serious Protestant, Puritan, Pilgrim, congregational settlements in Massachusetts now had on their neighboring border to the north an established Roman Catholic Church. Why did they care? Because at that time in history, the Huguenots had been in France and they had been persecuted. These are the French Protestants, Calvinist in tradition. People had fled, having lost all property, having lost their families, having lost their freedoms, and they came to the New World just to survive. Huguenots spread all over, all the way to South Africa and many other European countries, as well as America and Boston. That's part of the places where they settled. They came to Pennsylvania. And so the fear that was in their minds was that the king had essentially established a sword immediately to the north that could come down and simply establish a Roman Catholic assault upon them.
Okay, well, just clarify one thing. This is part of the Quebec Act, but what time frame are you talking about? This is the 1770s?
The Quebec Act would have happened in the aftermath of the French and Indian War. So between 1750 to 1770, I don't know the exact date, but it's in the period of the resolution of the fact that England now controls the Roman Catholic French-speaking area of Canada. So there was a now establishing in that area after the French and Indian War. It's British territory, but it's allowing this to be the official religion of that area. So I'm trying to put us in the context. It's just after the French and Indian War, before the Stamp Act. All of this is occurring at this time.
Okay.
So what we have to think about then is that at that time there was the fear that the Catholic Protestant issue would one day develop, and the king had allowed it to be official. The British king that was supposed to be looking out for his own colony had established a theological, political, religious potential enemy immediately to their north, and it was now legal. And this was a fear. So when the First Continental Congress meets in 1774, so this is 9 years after the Stamp Act, one of the things that will happen in the letter that comes from the people in Massachusetts is that we ancient free and Protestant colonies are concerned about our liberties because of the establishment of this religious state to the north on our boundary. So they are conscious, just as they're gathering together at the very first time, about the religious concern that's there. And so when you keep that in mind, this is why it's fascinating that the first political military move of the fledgling country is an invasion of Canada to try to neutralize what they thought was a danger. That was the battle where Benedict Arnold won and was actually a hero. He got wounded in it, but the Americans lost that battle, by the way. And that's the one where they brought along the elements of George Whitefield's cuff and collar as a small symbol of their wanting his spirit to be with them as they went into battle. So what we realized, to summarize all of this, is that the Protestant and Catholic struggle was very, very real. It was part of the backdrop, and it was part of the American concern as they came together to talk about their rights and liberties in the First Continental Congress, and it's referred to directly in the Declaration of Independence as the Quebec Act.
Wow. All right, we have just a couple minutes to wrap this up, but as we consider other aspects of religion and the American Revolution, it's my understanding that if Great Britain won, this is according to M.E. Bradford, they would then impose the entire Church of England on all of the American colonists, which would mean, therefore, that the Pilgrims and the Puritans and all that they sacrificed for would all be for naught because they'd be back to the Church of England, including the persecution against nonconformists.
That the danger of conformity against conscience was a reality that had come from right through the Reformation to the establishment of the Anglican Church. The Puritan story and then the rejection of the Puritans and the restoration of the Anglican church and the king, they recognized that that suffering would now be in the New World. It also continued to be, once the war was over and they're trying to put together a form of government that will survive, which is our Constitution, one of the great concerns for those that would not sign on in the debate over the Constitution was the worry that if enough Anglican states got together, they could now by law impose the same thing on the other states constitutionally. And so one of the key aspects of getting our Constitution approved was James Madison's promise that if they approved the Constitution, one of its first acts would be to establish a Bill of Rights that would prevent the government from having any control over the religion of the states. That promise brought in some of the people who are not ready to vote for the Constitution, and it gave us then the First Amendment that we know today that keeps Congress out of the business of establishing a church. So we might put bookends on this conversation then. The Reformation concern between Protestant and Catholic was there even before the Stamp Act occurred. It is present in the Declaration. And it is the cause that helps to shape, if you will, the First Amendment, which was part of the Bill of Rights that was necessary to get the votes to have a constitution. All of that is a religious conversation that's going on at every point.
This is fascinating. And one thing, too, earlier you had mentioned, you were talking about some of these colonists that got away from England. They didn't like the church, you said, but I would just like to add to that, what you mean by that is they didn't like the established church. And that word established is very important because the First Amendment says Congress shall make no law respecting an establishment of religion, meaning that there will be no Church of America like you have the Church of England. Dr. Peter Lilbeck, thanks again for being with us. ProvidenceForum.org for more information.